Bobby Lashley becomes the Intercontinental Champion, and Braun's out, Finn is in. Let's talk about that.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast, your place for the most passionate wrestling analysis on the web.
Just turn Roman heel. What is WWE waiting for?
When other wrestling podcasts put you to sleep, you can count on the WWE Podcast to keep you engaged and asking for more.
I've been watching wrestling for over 20 years, and that was one of the best matches I've ever seen.
If you're easily offended, this may not be the show for you.
Whatever happened to the men being able to physically retaliate against the women in WWE? This is a fantasy environment.
This is unlike any other wrestling analysis. So without any further delay, let's get the show started right now.
Hey guys, welcome to the WWE Podcast. Thank you once again for joining me here on your Friday night. If you're listening to this as I record it, it is a Friday night. So maybe it's a Saturday, maybe it's a Sunday. Whatever day you're listening, thank you for taking the time to do so. Much appreciated. Follow me on iTunes, on Spreaker, on Stitcher, on SoundCloud, and also on Google Play and iHeartRadio and Spotify and really anywhere you can listen to audio. Boy, this show better be there. I made a hell of an effort to make sure that I am in as many places as possible. So if you have an app that I'm not on, let me know. I would love to be able to make sure that this show gets as much exposure as possible. So welcome to the show. Thank you once again for joining me. And we got a lot to cover today. And head on over to Patreon.com, by the way, Patreon.com/WWE Podcast. If you'd like to get all these ads removed and you just want to be a free and clear experience without all of those annoying ads, well, that's the place to do it for just $1 a month. Yep. $1. And with additional tiers, you can get on the show and you can create your own content here. You can become a co-host on the show. Tons of other cool goodies if you'd like to check that out. And yeah, I really would encourage you to do so. It is a, I think, a good value. And hey, nobody likes ads. We all hate the ads. I know. We do. And there's those skip buttons on our phones that you can just, you know, move ahead 15 seconds, move ahead 30 seconds and skip through the ads. But that way, you don't even have to do that. You can just sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. So, guys, thank you once again here. And let's get into Monday Night Raw a little bit. I'm not even going to waste any time. And we're going to get into Monday Night Raw. If you're all waiting for the What If segment, that has been transferred to Patreon.com. So if that is something that you like and has caught a little bit of momentum and you are interested in, that's the place to go, is Patreon.com, by the way. So there is no longer the What If segment here on the free feed. It is now on Patreon. So check it out. Give it a try. I'm really enjoying doing those segments because it's a great way to dive into the past, dive into the future, the potential future, right? And I'm having a lot of fun with it. This past week, I did a quick segment. I think it was about a 12-minute, 13-minute audio segment on what if The Undertaker had not gone back to the Dead Man and remained the American Badass. So if you'd like to hear that, that is on Patreon exclusively. You will not hear it on this feed. All right, let's get into Monday Night Raw and some of the top stories here. Number one, I mean, I guess there's more than one, but let's just talk about Finn Balor because that's what is on everybody's mind. I'm not going to tiptoe around it and make you wait till the end of the show. Finn Balor replaces Braun Strowman for the Universal Championship at the Royal Rumble. Finn Balor. People are calling this a dream match. But is it really? When I think of dream matches, Finn Balor versus Brock Lesnar isn't even on my top 20. You have like CBS Sports calling it a dream match. Okay, yeah, I don't, again, not seeing dream match. Am I seeing something that I'd like to see? More than Braun versus Brock? Yes. Is it more intriguing to me? Yes. Do I think it's going to be a better quality match? Yes. Do I think it's going to maybe go beyond 8 minutes? Yes. To all of that. Do I think it's a dream match? No. Okay. It's not a dream match to me. I think it's very similar to the Daniel Bryan versus Brock Lesnar match that happened just a couple of months ago. So I think we could get that style of match with these two. I think it's a signal from WWE that, hey, we get it. You know, you've seen Braun and Brock, albeit Baron Corbin's interference, so we didn't get a straight-up Braun versus Brock match. And Braun ended up taking, what, five F5s, finally getting the pin by Brock and losing. So I think it's a signal by WWE of a couple things. Number one, their mission to change and their commitment to making that change and making things feel fresh. And they couldn't have done that with a Braun versus Brock match because we've seen it. This will be the third time. Yeah, we've seen it before we did the last time, but people forget that. And so this couldn't have happened with Braun versus Brock Part 3 and had things feel fresh. On top of the fact that reason number two, I don't think you're going to get a five-star classic out of either of these two men. Their styles just don't mix well. They just don't. And I think WWE would and was fearful that this match could have been rejected by the audience. And I think rightfully so. I really do. Because the fans now are they have a different level of expectation when it comes to match quality. And Braun and Brock, again, their styles are not complementary of each other. They just don't gel well. They're both monsters, but that doesn't automatically mean that they are going to be an automatic classic. So I'm, and again, don't get me wrong. It's not that I don't want to ever see Braun versus Brock again. That's not the case. I do. I think that that is still an intriguing match, but I don't think it's one that sends the right message when you're beginning your official start on the road to WrestleMania. I don't think it's the right message to send. So swapping in Finn is a very intriguing option, and they tried to position Finn in a very strong fashion on Monday night by inserting himself into the Fatal 4-Way and then re-earning himself into the Fatal 4-Way with Jinder Mahal and then beating John Cena clean in the middle of the ring in the Fatal 4-Way. Not a fluke win. He beat John Cena, and then John Cena gives us, you know, stamp of endorsement to Finn Balor as if I need that. Okay, I don't need that. That's at this point in career, John Cena knows that he is there to give back. He's not there to dominate anymore. He's there in the basically paying it forward mode of his career. And that's fine with me. I don't want to see John Cena just doing a job for everybody every single time he returns. I don't think that would do him any favors, but he's in the business of giving back. He's on that part of his career. So I'm fine with it, but I don't need John's seal of approval on Finn Balor. To me, it felt corporate. Like John Cena is the face of the corporate WWE, and it's the corporate stamp of approval on Finn. I didn't like it. I know people are like, well, John Cena, John Cena's 10 times the star Finn Balor is. You know what? You're right. John Cena is a megastar. Finn Balor is still a star in the making. He's nowhere near in the same stratosphere as John Cena. It's a fact. As big of a Finn Balor fan as anyone is out there, you cannot argue with me intelligently that Finn Balor is in the same stratosphere as John Cena. But it just did not come across as authentic to me. Maybe it's just my cynical personality. I don't know. But now this whole, the outcome of the Royal Rumble is very intriguing to me on so many levels. And on specifically the Universal Championship match. And I don't have a pick yet of the Royal Rumble match itself. My predictions are coming next week, by the way. But I really am very intrigued. And I posted out on Twitter earlier today that Finn Balor, while many are discounting him to win the Universal Championship, I would not do so quickly. I would pull back. Am I picking Finn to win the Universal Championship? I don't know. That's not a cop-out. But I've been so back and forth, and there's so many logical paths that this could take I really don't know. I'm leaning still towards no, but not heavily. If I was a betting man, I would say Finn Balor probably doesn't win, but I would not count it out. And I'm talking, this is a 51% to 49%. That's where my brain is actually at with this. It's teetering. And you know, there's a few hours while I'll sit there and ponder. And trust me, I don't sit and think about this for hours, but when it pops up in my head and I think, oh, yeah, well, they could do this. That's why they're doing that. And then I'm thinking, well, that's why Finn's going to win. And then I'm like, well, why would they do that when, you know, Seth Rollins is lurking? So I'm kind of on the fence, guys. And at the moment, I'm still leaning 51% chance of Finn losing. However, the argument for Finn winning would be that this would show a true shakeup by the McMahon family. This would signal, we hear ya. And Brock Lesnar right now, I think, is as cold as he's ever been, ever, in WWE. I don't think anyone's interested in seeing Brock Lesnar anymore. And for as few times as he's on WWE TV, he's worn out his welcome without even being there. Think about that. Brock Lesnar has worn out his welcome without even being on television. Because, number one, you know when he is on television, he doesn't do anything. I mean, let's be honest. He doesn't do anything. He'll stand there in statuesque fashion and give some good body language, or just the same body language he's been giving since he returned in 2012. And while Paul Heyman cuts, you know, his excellent Paul Heyman promos, and he'll stand there and snort or circle the ring and, you know, go back and, I guess, play the heel that he's currently playing. And he's holding the Universal Championship, the biggest prize in the game right now. Yes, the WWE Championship has more lineage, and the belt itself means more. But right now, Raw is still the flagship show, and you have the flagship championship on a champion that's not there. Yeah, he's an absentee champion, but he's also an absentee champion that people don't care about as much anymore. He has cooled off to the point of seeing him on TV doesn't really generate as much emotion as it should. With Brock Lesnar, think about that. Brock Lesnar, who only competes on pay-per-views, hasn't competed on a TV spot in, my God, since his last run in WWE. I don't believe, correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm sure I will hear it from Twitter if I'm wrong, that Brock Lesnar has not competed on Raw or SmackDown since he returned from UFC. So you know what you're getting from Brock. It's a whole bunch of nothing. It's a whole bunch of standing there. And this isn't really me blaming it on Brock. Brock's a megastar and will forever be a megastar and is destined for the Hall of Fame. No doubt about it. And if I could get paid millions of dollars to just fly to a city, show up to an arena, get in some, you know, athletic gear, stand there, not do anything, and just have a guy stand next to me and cut a promo for millions of dollars, of course, anybody would do it. It's not on Brock. But I am, just like the most of the rest of the fans out there, I'm tired of seeing him. He doesn't do anything for me anymore. It's just, it's as if, just get the belt off of him. Brock Lesnar just needs to go away for a long period of time. Unless they decide to do something real with him. And I don't think that's going to happen because his eyes are once again in UFC. And if he's having one foot in UFC, one foot in WWE, I'm not going to put him into a large program that's going to require a large amount of time for a guy that has his time split and doesn't like to travel and doesn't want to compete on TV shows and only pay-per-views. And doesn't want to risk him being injured in a UFC match, therefore not being able to compete UFC, therefore not really busting his ass in a WWE match. Kind of a guy that's half in, half out, but getting paid top dollar. That's how big of a star Brock Lesnar is. So that's why I don't think they're going to do something real with him. But could Finn Balor walk out champion? Sure. And that would signal a huge change to WWE fans that they, you know, are serious about this fresh shakeup, whatever they call it. And it's not just lip service. And I'd be fine with it. I don't even need to see Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. I don't. But the argument for Finn winning would be this. It would show that they are serious about a shakeup, and we don't have to wait till WrestleMania to see who Brock faces in a 10-minute match full of German suplexes and kicking out of F5s of whoever he's facing. And why would they have skyrocketed Finn to the level they did? Just to put Finn in the main event just to get pinned by Brock? I mean, I don't know. I mean, that would be the argument for it. It would signal a true shakeup. And Finn would put on a exponentially better match than Brock would in a WrestleMania main event. The argument against Finn Balor walking out as Universal Champion would be Brock Lesnar is still a household name. Brock Lesnar has more name brand value than Finn Balor does by a long shot. So when you have Finn Balor versus, I don't know, whoever for the Universal Championship at WrestleMania, you may have some people going, huh? Who? Who? Oh, I think I've heard of him. I'm talking about the outside fans that just pop in, you know, the casual fans that pop in once a year that are starting to creep back in to the programming, which, by the way, the Raw ratings were the best they've been in months this past Monday. I think in part due to a better product, not crazy better, but I think slightly better, and that it's WrestleMania season, and the fans that are closet fans are starting to poke their head back in and see what's going on. They just slightly open the door, and they're just peeking in to see what's going on, and I think that's exactly what's going on with the ratings. So WWE should not get, you know, too excited about the ratings just yet, but it's encouraging. I mean, if they were falling still, that would be extremely alarming. But it is a cyclical nature of the business right now when ratings start to spike around Royal Rumble time because, hey, it's WrestleMania season. But here's the argument against it. Now, again, the number one thing is, well, it's Brock Lesnar for versus Wrestler X for the Universal Championship at WrestleMania. But Brock does not need the belt, nor does he really deserve it at this point. It needs to go to a guy that's not an absentee champion. A la Finn Balor. However, to me, the biggest and scariest argument for Brock retaining at Royal Rumble is one man and one man only. Seth Rollins. A guy that is, I don't think without question, the top babyface on Monday Night Raw, and a guy that they've been building for months, and he's out of the Intercontinental Championship picture, and I don't think he's getting it back, is Seth Rollins. And when you have Seth Rollins being built for months and months, and people have been waiting to just see somebody take down Brock, Seth Rollins, to me, would be a more formidable, believable opponent for Brock than Finn. So I think Seth Rollins is really where WWE could be thinking and going for the one guy to dethrone Brock at WrestleMania. It very well could be. And you could have Seth win the Rumble, face Brock at WrestleMania, and capture the Universal Championship, and we all move on with our lives. And Brock goes off to UFC, and we can all just wave goodbye. And don't ask him, you know, make sure the door doesn't hit him in the ass on the way out. That's where we're at, and I think that would be the largest and scariest argument for we may be in for more of the same from Brock and Paul over the next couple of months. And yes, we have two pay-per-views in between. Okay, so lots can happen, but if you're looking for Finn to win this Sunday, or excuse me, next Sunday at the Royal Rumble, I would not rule it out. I would not say it's a slam dunk that he loses. But if he loses, look for Seth to be the guy to step up to the plate after Finn takes the pin. So those are my thoughts on the Universal Championship picture. I wanted to start out with, to me, the biggest talking point of the week. All right, so taking a quick break, guys. On the other side, I'm going to get to the almighty Lashley. And I'm not going to mock him because I think he's the most relevant that he's ever been in WWE, not just since he's returned after WrestleMania last year, but even prior to that when he had his first run in WWE. So I'm going to talk about all that and a ton more. Stay right here. All right, guys, it's not often that I talk about some serious stuff on this show, but I got to take a pause here and talk about something that's near and dear to me, and that's weight loss. I struggled with it for years, and recently I came across someone that needs not just my help, but yours. His name is Eric Heitz, and he is the founder of FatGuyAcrossAmerica.com. And what he's doing is cycling across the country, and he needs your help. If you check out his Patreon page, it's patreon.com/fatguyacrossamerica. You can become a patron of what he's doing, and it's a worthwhile cause. He was 567 pounds when he started. That's 567 pounds when he started. He got below 480, but recently he's gained more back, and he's at 630. He needs your help, guys, and by becoming a patron, he'll give you a shout-out on his Facebook page, and you'll be able to follow his journey in real time while he vlogs and blogs. And just so you know, he has a list of 6 reasons why he is doing what he's doing, and it's on his Patreon page. And I'll just hit on a couple of these that I think may hit home with some of you guys. Number one, first and foremost, he wants to prove things to his wife. He wants to take back his health and lose the pounds he's collected over the years. That's huge, guys. And many of us can relate to that, right? Doing it for not just ourselves, but the people we love. And he'll be doing it to seek not just cool things and cool places, but an experience that is going to rebuild his soul by experiencing everything along with the riding his bicycle. And it's not just about riding a bike. It's an experience, guys. And this, he really does need your help. He needs my help. Check him out at patreon.com/fatguyacrossamerica if you want to support him there. You can also go to wastelandendeavors.com. That's wastelandendeavors.com. Trust me, you'll be glad you did. All right, guys, welcome back. And let's talk about Bobby Lashley, who had, I think, one of the best matches to date in WWE this past Monday night in the Triple Threat match for the Intercontinental Championship. I think it was awesome. And I, you know, was it the match of the year? No, not by any stretch of the imagination. But in Bobby Lashley world, it was not just the best match I think he's had since his return, but I think it was the most relevant he's ever been in his career in WWE. He's finally gaining some traction in the company. He's got something behind him. Is it a rocket ship? No. Is it something that he can build on? Yes. He's got Leo Rush, who's been toned down from go-away heat to just solid heel manager. And he's got the look. He's starting to feel out his own character, and you can see it. And I think he's acting like a heel in body language. He clearly still has it in the ring. And I'm enjoying it. I think him winning the Intercontinental Championship was the right move. And it felt like he belongs the Intercontinental Champion. He needs something to brag about. He needs something for the babyfaces to chase. And what's even crazier and more disappointing is Dean Ambrose's heel run that I thought was going to be red hot, and it just died. You know, after Dean turned heel on Seth, and we all know the night that he did it, which some people disagree with, and I still don't. I think it was still the right move that he did it the night that Roman announced he had leukemia. All of you that think that was, oh, that's not the right, oh, it's not the right time. Oh, I'm so sensitive. I can't handle fantasy world. Oh, it's just not right. Get grip. Yes, he actually has leukemia. But I applaud WWE and all those involved for taking advantage of a real life scenario to build real heat for a product that is going to last long beyond Roman Reigns' disappearance. And I don't mean that he's going to die. I mean that after he's gone, you want things to continue to succeed. And you want to use real life scenario to generate real heat. Applaud and still applaud. And so it seemed as if they were going to have Seth and Dean were going to have a great feud, and boy, did it, it just fell flat on its face. And I don't know really what happened other than maybe the build wasn't quite right. Their match at TLC was, I think, the nail in the coffin for it. I don't want to see these two compete one-on-one again. I really don't. I don't need to see it. I think it's a non-issue at this point. They need to both focus on the Royal Rumble itself. I hope they're not put into the Intercontinental Championship picture. I hope they're both, as I said, entered into that 30-man Royal Rumble. That's where both men belong. So let Bobby Lashley and Leo Rush gloat and flex and just rub it in all our faces and have Bobby Lashley beat down the baby faces, because he's a guy that you believe could. He's a legit badass dude. I mean, there's no question about it. And when he uses heel tactics of attacking from behind, I think it makes it that much more frustrating as a viewer, because you're looking at this guy who doesn't need to do that, but he still does it anyway. And it makes you cringe. And that is the reaction I'm looking for. And like I said, Bobby Lashley he put on a great competitive match. I'm not going to say performance, because we're all not magicians. Performances make me cringe. Okay. We don't say performances. We say competition. And he had, as I said, the best match to date. He's got Leo Rush, who is toned down, and starting to come into his own. Bobby Lashley starting to come into his own, understand his own character, just be that obnoxious heel, and he's now got a belt to boot. And where they go from here is going to be very critical. So, it made me feel good, but they need to be very careful where they go with Bobby right now, because if this is now or never for Bobby Lashley. I mean, he's on the back nine of his career. He's not a young guy anymore. I don't know how long his contract is. I believe it's for another year or so. And it's now or never with Bobby. You've never had this much momentum behind him. And again, it's not a ton, but it's much more than he's ever had, ever. So I think it's good. He's got the Almighty behind him. Catchphrase for his character. That's, to me, I think that's cool. That's fine. He's not and when I say cool, I don't mean he's a cool heel. That's not what you're looking for. But hey, hats off to all three men in that match. That was a great match. And solid move that Bobby Lashley becomes Intercontinental Champion. And the fact that, hey, it's a fresh face holding the belt. And the thing I want WWE to not do is just fresh faces are going to solve all problems. That's not how you solve all problems. And I went into depth in this on my last show, so I'm not going to just beat a dead horse. But what I will say is WWE seems to, at least from the presentation, since their whole announcement of the shakeup or the fresh start, their whole solution seems to be, we'll bring in fresh faces. And that's it. That seems to be their cure-all for this fresh start. And fresh faces are important, but it's not the number one or even top five problem in WWE. It's their approach to professional wrestling. It's the fact that they don't want to be professional wrestling that's the problem. It's almost idiotic to say, but that's the truth. That WWE wants to run as far away as they can from themselves and their own identity. It's almost as if you have a dog that's highly intelligent. And while they are a dog, they continue to tell you that they're a cat. And despite the fact that they are not changing, they still have a tail and that wags, and they still bark. You know, they still chase animals. They still believe that they'll tell you that they're a cat. And as a viewer, you feel like your intelligence is insulted. So, I don't know if that's the best analogy, but WWE stands for World Wrestling Entertainment, correct? Am I wrong? So when I have WWE basically just forget the fact that wrestling's in her name, it's E. I mean, if they could just be EEE, that's, I think, what they would be. I mean, you have Kevin Dunn, who wants to separate himself from the wrestling company as best he can. And Vince McMahon, who flat out told Stone Cold on his Stone Cold podcast a number of years ago on the WWE Network, I think it was 3 years ago, that, oh, we're not professional wrestling. That's what my father did. We're in the entertainment business. Well, no, professional wrestling is entertainment, so y'all are in the same business. You can have entertainment elements of professional wrestling that are outside the actual wrestling in the ring, but what you do to entertain the fans is wrestle. And what you don't do well to try to entertain is comedy skits that fall flat on their face 9 times out of 10. No, I think I said that pretty well. So, some other couple things I want to touch on is the Mandy Rose deal from SmackDown Live. Now, Mandy Rose, from all reports that I've read on the dirt sheets, because that's where you get all your most accurate information, is the internet. I believe, anyway. I don't know. Last I heard, I don't believe there was anything untruthful on the internet, especially when it comes to wrestling. So this is pretty solid information. That Mandy Rose is highly favored in the eyes of Vince McMahon. And while I say that kind of tongue-in-cheek and obviously with a ton of sarcasm about internet information, I tend to believe it because Vince McMahon has had an affinity with blonde women in WWE since conception. Tori Wilson, Sable, Trish Stratus, Sunny. Go down the list. Charlotte, who, if he had his way, would be in the position that Becky Lynch is in and probably doesn't understand why people are cheering Becky Lynch over Charlotte. And now you have Mandy Rose, who admittedly is a very good-looking woman, skilled in the ring, good talker. But you have her chasing a woman's husband, but only doing it to get under the skin of Naomi. Getting dressed in hotel rooms, sending pictures to his phone, which, by the way, why does she have his number anyway? If I were his wife, I would say, why does she have your number anyway to send the picture to? And then him going to the hotel obviously was a setup, so he didn't go there without bringing Naomi. But it just feels so sophomoric, and it feels very diva era-like to bring Mandy Rose into this. Maybe it's just Vince McMahon's fantasies being played out on camera. It wouldn't be the first time. And you have Corey Graves falling all over himself, obviously as being instructed through the headset from Vince, to fall all over himself every single time Mandy Rose makes an entrance, as if she is just the second coming of Christ. It just feels very Vince-esque to be doing this for Mandy Rose, and the reports of him viewing her as one of the next top divas or women in WWE. See, I already called her a diva because she feels like one. She feels like a diva in a woman's world. Somebody had that phrase a number of years ago after the diva's title was dissolved. Nonetheless, I enjoyed SmackDown Live as a whole. I think it was a solid show, but again, the ending with Shane and The Miz. I really don't know what to make of this. I feel a turn coming. Had it been prior to the whole fresh start, I would have said that Shane's turning heel, and I actually wish he would have. he was heading that way until it got scrapped after, you know, they turned half the roster heel. But I don't know where this is ending. I think if I was a betting man, sometimes I am, I would say that if Shane and Miz win the tag titles, they're not going to hold them long. They'll drop them, and it'll be because either there's a miscue between Shane and Miz, or the Miz gets pinned, Shane gets pinned and the Miz gets pissed, and Miz ends up turning all out heel, as if he's kind of a heel now, but he has daddy issues, so we're all supposed to feel sympathetic. And Shane is still a popular babyface, so I guess that will override and absorb the fact that Miz is still kind of heel, other than, oh, he has daddy problems. That's why we're supposed to feel motion towards Miz, I guess. I don't know. But I see this ending very badly. I could see this being Miz versus Shane at upcoming pay-per-view. I hope it's, if it's WrestleMania, I would actually be okay with that. And the reason I'd be okay with that is because Shane is not in a main event of WrestleMania. He's not facing AJ Styles. That would be nice. He's not facing Undertaker at Hell in a Cell. That would be great. Okay. I don't need to see Shane McMahon in a main event anymore. So to put The Miz in there with him, it's kind of a mid-card deal, and I'm cool with that. Fine. He wants to play in the sandbox once a year with a mid-card guy. I'm all for it, even though I still don't believe that a guy that is a part-time performer, and I say part-time extremely loosely, is supposed to be on equal footing with a guy that has main events at WrestleMania in true form and is an everyday competitor. So I don't understand that, but I will believe it and accept it a little bit more if it is The Miz that is indeed the opponent of Shane McMahon at WrestleMania. So, outside of that, I did really enjoy the Samoa Joe beating down Mustafa Ali. I think that was well done. I don't think that was that went too long. Some people went too long. What are you talking about? I don't know. Somebody said that to me on Twitter. I'm like, what are you talking about? That was like a 4 minute, 3 minute beatdown, and I liked it. Joe needs something. Joe needs something, anything. Grasp at anything right now, Joe. Even if it's beating down a recently called up NXT star, he needs something. I don't even care if it's a Sub-Zero lookalike for those Mortal Kombat fans out there. That's fine. Joe needs something to get back on his feet. And boy, does he need a title run. I don't know how they have not put the belt on Samoa Joe at this point. I just don't understand. But it's a step in the right direction, and Mustafa Ali might be the right sacrificial lamb to do so. We'll see. The Rey Mysterio and Andrade CN. No. It's just Andrade. Just as if they just seem to chop off names. I believe Rusev had a, what was it? Rusev, and I can't think of it off the top of my head. It's very late here, guys. It's 11 o'clock at night here, guys, for me. Rusev had an additional name. I believe Cesaro had a name that was more than just Cesaro. And so now you have Andrade. It's just Andrade. Although I think Andrade Cien Almas had a nice flow, right? I don't know why they... Maybe I just haven't caught up on the latest dirt sheets to know why they just decided to castrate the other half of his name. But I didn't have a problem with it. I actually thought it fit and flowed. But, I mean, again, it's not the hell I want to die on. I think that Andrade's okay. It's fine. I don't think it's going to hurt his career one way or the other. But I don't know. It seemed to flow. And the match he had with Rey Mysterio, I think, yes, these two have awesome chemistry. There's just no denying it. They put on a hell of a match. They both sacrificed their bodies. Rey Mysterio is just turned back the clock somehow. He is just put Father Time on pause, on hold somehow. So props to Rey Mysterio, but also give Andrade, I mean, just all the credit too, because he took that Hurricane Rana off the apron and slammed his body on the floor. It was a great match. I just hope this program continues. I mean, we all just want to see more matches with these guys. They're just machines, and they just gel perfectly. Loving it. So the other thing with AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan, they didn't do a whole lot to progress this. other than go out to the concession stand and, I guess, to appease the fans that AJ Styles appeared in front of them, they just had him inexplicably walk out to the audience and then up the stairs when he could have just been stayed backstage and gone to the concession stand, which would have been, you know, a fraction of the time to get there. But we know why they did it, because otherwise AJ Styles would not have appeared in front of the fans. So he goes out there and Daniel Bryan attacks him. You know, okay, AJ gets the best of him, throws him through a table of about 30 hot dogs, which, by the way, guys, if anyone's been to any concession stands ever in an arena, they don't just have 30 hot dogs sitting there with relish and mustard and ketchup on them that you can just take. I mean, so I don't know. Maybe this is me being nitpicky, but typically they have the food behind the counter. But I don't know. I just, one of those things that I guess I just noticed. But they progressed it a little, I guess. A little. More of a tread water type of week for this rivalry. So that's that. But all right, guys, that's all I got for this week. But join me on, let's see, what day? Today's Friday. I'm going to try to do a what if segment on Sunday, make it a kind of a Sunday deal. But again, that's exclusive on patreon.com/WWE podcast. If you want to go listen and subscribe there, it's only $1, $1, 100 cents. You want to give me 100 pennies and donate $100 or 100 pennies, yeah, $100, 100 pennies to this show and take a ad-free experience to your ears and listen to exclusive content that you can't find anywhere other than patreon.com, then become a patron and give it a try. I would, I'll appreciate it. I think you'll really feel that you got your value out of your dollar. Holla, holla. So, all right, guys, thanks for listening, and check out my Patreon and also follow me on Twitter at the WWE Podcast. Everybody have an awesome weekend. I'll talk to you next time. All right, guys, it's not often that I talk about some serious stuff on this show, but I got to take a pause here and talk about something that's near and dear to me, and that's weight loss. I struggled with it for years, and recently I came across someone that needs not just my help, but yours. His name is Eric Heitz, and he is the founder of FatGuyAcrossAmerica.com. And what he's doing is cycling across the country, and he needs your help. If you check out his Patreon page, it's patreon.com/FatGuyAcrossAmerica. You can become a patron of what he's doing, and it's a worthwhile cause. He was 567 pounds when he started. That's 567 pounds when he started. He got below 480, but recently he's gained more back, and he's at 630. He needs your help, guys, and by becoming a patron, he'll give you a shout out on his Facebook page, and you'll be able to follow his journey in real time while he vlogs and blogs. And just so you know, he has a list of 6 reasons why he is doing what he's doing, and it's on his Patreon page. And I'll just hit on a couple of these that I think may hit home with some of you guys. Number one, first and foremost, he wants to prove things to his wife. He wants to take back his health and lose the pounds he's collected over the years. That's huge, guys. And many of us can relate to that, right? Doing it for not just ourselves, but the people we love. And he'll be doing it to seek not just cool things and cool places, but an experience that is going to rebuild his soul by experiencing everything along with the riding his bicycle. And it's not just about riding a bike. It's an experience, guys. And this, he really does need your help. He needs my help. Check him out at patreon.com/FatGuyAcrossAmerica if you want to support him there. You can also go to wastelandendeavors.com. That's wastelandendeavors.com. Trust me, you'll be glad you did.